Good morning and welcome to Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is in fact Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. The front page starts today with news about the recent extreme weather. On Sunday, March 30th, just 2 days ago, around 1:30 p.m., the severe thunderstorm warning bumped up to a tornado warning, with the National Weather Service activating the outdoor warning sirens in southern Champaign County. Willard Airport experienced 67-mile-per-hour winds registered on their sensors, and the downpour of rain, plus some hail in the area, caused some power lines and structural damages. Some of the storage units near I-57 and Monticello Road toppled over, exposing crumbled sheet metal, wood, and insulation. Also in the Tolono city limits, debris was scattered several yards away near Illinois Foundation Seeds off Route 45 and 900 North on the back of the property, with a storage building collapsing entirely. Tolono Fire Department crews responded as they found a small fire that was able to be put out with an extinguisher. Mutual aid was called for multiple weather-related emergencies. No injuries were reported throughout the incident, and service was prompt. Also on today's front page, we read about the first stakeholder input session held in Tolono Town Hall regarding the 5-year action plan. This article by Diane Ducey. On Tuesday, March 26th, the first of several stakeholder input sessions was held at the Tolono Town Hall as the Village of Tolono partners with Downtown Strategies to develop a 5-year action plan. Their flyer states that, instead of brainstorming everything we could do, their bite-sized plan will identify practical, small-scale strategies for what we should do to see immediate impact. Close to 30 concerned citizens attended this session, led by Jeremy Murdoch, as he listened to challenges, ideas, and goals to help formulate the vision for improving our town. With a background in community and outreach services, Murdoch likes to work with different groups to get things done. In a typical cycle, when working with the right people to get them engaged, improvement projects can do things to create storefront appeal, like adding plants, benches, signs with color, murals, art, banners, and general cleanup, along with getting buildings up to code. These ideas all came up when Murdoch asked attendees to shout out words about our downtown, which included stale, dated, quiet, stagnant, and dilapidated. He then talked about efforts to implement small changes to be more inspiring, creative, vibrant, and supportive of businesses as we attract more visitors and provide options for family fun. In June, a draft should be delivered to incorporate some of the points of interest that were brought up in this first session. Another topic tackled by participants was to think of other small towns with good things going for them. Touristic stops and perhaps playing our train card would work somehow, or showing our history with the Abraham Lincoln stop when he gave a speech in Tolono on February 11, 1861. Giving people an experience, such as with golf carts, art displays, recreational spaces, skate parks, and arcades, or a diner, ice cream shop, or a place for coffee, were all kicked around when thinking about our third place, our first place being home, our second place at work, and where someone wants to spend spare time becoming the third place. That's our downtown. Implementation and the jump start into getting an initial action team and concepts launched is set to occur in August. Various categories could help people use their skill sets to come up with incentives, volunteers who may be interested in beautification efforts, public art projects, tourism, and promotion of all things Tolono. One of the priorities brought up towards the end of the meeting concerned the condition of existing buildings, various vacancies, and ways to determine realistic property values in hopes of getting owners motivated as citizens create a swarm of activity. Tolono's current administration team and a few candidates running on the ballot with the consolidated election wrapping up yesterday, April 1st, chimed in about communication with constituents and perhaps getting grants to move the needle with a committee that may be able to oversee funding and develop a budget. A survey is available to express your opinion with around 45 questions that will get you thinking about future opportunities. For details, reach out to the Village of Tolono by email, and which is info@tolonoil.us. Let me repeat that. It's info@tolonoil, that's all one word, .us. Or you can check their website, which is simply tolonoil.us. Congratulations to the Village of Tolono for these outstanding and exciting efforts. Before we turn to news from several of our small cities, we will share with David Leake, The Night Sky. David is the retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College, and this article pertains to the skies beginning today, April 2nd, through April 8th, this week. Friday night, and that is April 4th, the first quarter moon can be seen among the stars of the Gemini twins. A bit further eastward, the stars marking the heads of the twins, Castor and Pollux, appear to have a companion. The planet Mars makes nearly a straight line between with the two stars. Note the reddish hue of Mars and how it will move a bit eastward each evening with respect to the stars. On Saturday night, the moon sits to the left of Mars. If weather permits, the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society will hold their first free public open house of the year on Saturday night at their rural observatory southwest of Willard Airport. We will start around dusk on Saturday, April 5th. Bring your smartphone and take your own photos of the craters on the moon. We plan to get a look at Jupiter, situated high in the western sky as well. For more information and details, you can go to their website, which is cuas.org. CUAS stands for Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society.org. For details, and plan to come out and join them. Next up, we have the Philo Library Weekly Newsletter. As we predicted, we received new books this week. Let me give you a rundown of what we have that is ready to be checked out. Tess Gerritsen has a new thriller, The Summer Guests, which takes place in Purity, Maine, which should be a peaceful place to retire, but it isn't. Susan Mallory has an early beach read called Beach Vibes, where love and loyalty collide. Next up, Chloe by Connie Briscoe is a modern version of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. Next up, Fern Michaels, Fight or Flight, should be a good and quick read. A book that won't be as quick to read, however, but just as good, is Callie Hart's new Quicksilver, which is a fantasy that fans of this genre should really like. Another new one, Ambush by Colleen Copel, is in large print, the first in a new Sanctuary series, a books that take place mostly in Nova Cambridge, Alabama. A young woman returns to her hometown where her parents were murdered. She's hoping the veterinarian job she took at the wildlife refuge will be the perfect place to heal. Next up, Harlan Coben's Nobody's Fool should definitely fill the description of a thriller. And Suzanne Collins has a new Hunger Games novel called Sunrise on the Reaping, which begins at the start of the 50th annual Hunger Games. This year, twice as many tributes will be taken. Now, for parents, watch for a Philo Library flyer coming home from school in the next few weeks. This will have information about some of the summer programs that will be available at the Philo Library. There are still several ideas that we're working on, so continue watching this column and also look in backpacks for information sent home from your children's schools. We'll also post on Philo Watch. And so, another week has passed, and one of these days it will be nice enough to get out into the garden or the yard and do some work. Watch in the next week's column for information that can help you with the garden and lawn care. Until then, thanks for reading from everybody at the Philo Library. Next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, containing news and information about the Village of Sydney by Anne Roten. She begins the column with information about the next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, which will take place next Monday, April 7th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building, located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. This meeting will be run by the current sitting board. The newly elected Village of Sydney president and new board members will be sworn in at the Monday, May 5th meeting following the Tuesday, April 1st consolidated election. The Sydney Improvement Group sponsored Easter Egg Hunt will take place on Saturday, April 12th at 9 a.m. at Witt Park. Participating age groups for the event start with toddlers, who are 2 years of age. The next group will be 3 to 5 year olds, then 6 and 7 year olds, and then 8 and 10 year olds, according to the Sydney Improvement Group Facebook page. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the post home, located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney, on Monday, April 21st at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend all monthly meetings unless otherwise posted. And once again, they are held at the post home at 221 South David Street. The Sydney Lions Club will hold their 66th annual Sydney Lions Club meeting with donations accepted for an all-you-can-eat fish fry on Saturday, May 3rd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building. The Sydney Lions Club are also looking for new members. Anyone interested in joining can call Sydney Lions Club President Bill Hench at 217-649-6989 for more information. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance. They are located at the Sydney Community Building parking lot at 211 East Main Street, the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The next Tuesday that the Foodmobile will be in town is May 6th, and everyone is welcome to visit the Food Bank website at www.eifoodbank.org for more information. EI Food Bank is all one word. Then, also, be sure to mark your calendars for this year's Sydney Fun Days, which is scheduled to take place on Friday, July 5th and Saturday, July 26th. Anne Roten invites you or your organization to submit news items that you would like to have published to her at Post Office Box 491, Sydney, Illinois 61877, or you can call her at 217-688-2812 during business hours. Please don't hesitate to leave a message if there is no answer. News items regarding Sydney must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following Wednesday's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. Next up, we have news from the Tolono Library. And it's no April Fool's joke that they have lots of exciting events and programs scheduled for this month. On Saturday, April 5th, April 5th, join Hillary for the Pound Workout. Use lightly weighted drumsticks and get a fun physical workout. On Monday, the 7th through Friday, the 11th, is our Library Spirit Week at the Tolono Library. Dress up with us for our theme days, Artistic Mondays, 80s Tuesday, Comic Book Wednesday, Pajama Thursday, and Library Love Friday. On Monday, April 7th, we have Art Night from 3:30 to 5 p.m. Wednesday is Graphic Novel Workshop. Join Hillary as she leads you on a journey into making your own four-panel story in the style of a comic book. We have Stuffed Animal Sleepover, Ukrainian Egg Decorating, Play and Learn Activities, Kids Paint Class, and Mom's Night Out, among other events. April is full of programs and events for the entire family. As always, please check our Facebook page and website for all the details on all the exciting events coming up at the Tolono Library. Next up, the Homer Community Library is celebrating National Library Week as well, from April 6th to the 12th. It's a time to celebrate the many ways that libraries bring people together, spark imagination, and support lifelong learning. So, the Homer Community Library invites you to join the celebration of public libraries. Whether you're a longtime patron or you haven't visited in a while, now is the perfect time to explore all that the library has to offer. We're so much more than just books on shelves. Our library provides quite a few services, such as free Wi-Fi, public computers, digital collections, STEM kits and programs, free movie nights, and other programs, ensuring that everyone has access to resources that educate, inspire, and connect. You don't need a library card to use many of our services, but did you know that having a library card can save you money? In the last year, our patrons saved over $160,000 collectively by borrowing materials from the library instead of purchasing them. That doesn't even include the value that patrons receive from our programs, the use of our computers and internet, or services such as our notary service, or subscriptions to ABC Mouse, Ancestry.com, and Mango Languages. From books and digital resources to access to the internet and creative programming, libraries are essential to thriving communities. Come see what we have to offer at the Homer Community Library. You can contact us at 217-896-2121, or you can email us at homerlibrarian@gmail.com. Next up, the Arthur Quilt Show Committee is now accepting entries for the 34th Annual Arthur Quilt Show, which is scheduled to be held on April 24th through the 26th at the Otto Center, south of Arthur on the County Line Road. To obtain an entry form, entry rules, vendor space, or any other additional information, please contact Jolene Stutzman, committee chairperson, at 217-543-2000. 2287, or you can email her at stitchandsew20@gmail.com. Stitchandsew20 is all one word. @gmail.com. The deadline for entries is April 17th, and there is a small entry fee per items. Entries will be judged in each of 5 categories: baby quilts, wall hangings, antique quilts, pieced items, which are pieced machine quilted or pieced hand quilted, and mixed techniques. Ribbons and gift certificates will be awarded for first, second, and third place in each category, along with the Best of Show winner receiving a $100 gift certificate, and all are redeemable for merchandise at participating Arthur Merchants. Visitors to the show will determine the winner of the People's Choice Award ribbon. And next up, the Moultrie Douglas County Fair is excited to announce the headliner for the 2025 Fair Concert. The concert will take place on Saturday, August 2nd at the Moultrie Douglas County Fairgrounds in Arthur. This year's headliner is Ty Myers, who gained significant attention in 2023 with his debut single, Tie That Binds, which amassed over 11 million streams on Spotify. Following that success, his next hit, Drinkin' Alone, exploded with more than 26 million streams and counting. Myers has performed at packed venues across the country and has shared the stage with notable artists like Willie Nelson, completing his performances on Wade Bowen and Randy Rogers Band's Hold My Beer tour before launching his own headlining tour. Tickets for the concert will start at just $25, but prices will rise on the day of the show. All tickets are general admission, and lawn chairs are permitted in designated areas. Please note that tickets do not include admission to the fair, which is $5, payable at the gate. The fair carnival and concessions will open at 5 p.m., followed by the beer garden at 6 p.m. This year they are accepting cash only. The concert will then begin at 7 p.m. For more information on all the events at the fair, please visit MoultrieDouglasCountyFair.org. Again, that's all one word, MoultrieDouglasCountyFair.org. Next up, we have the Rocket Rundown, a weekly recap of news from Rocket Nation, written by student writer Olivia Withoft. Last Monday, Oakwood played Unity Baseball in Oakwood. Unity beat Oakwood 5-0 and played Westville the next day. At Westville, Unity put up a tough fight but lost 3-4. On Thursday, Tri-Valley came to Tolono and played Unity. Tri-Valley won 9-4. On Saturday at IVC, Unity Baseball played a difficult game and ended up losing 1-2. They played Bismarck Henning on Monday and will play Olympia at home on Thursday. On Friday, softball played Normal University High School but lost 8-0. They played Oakwood on Monday, and on Thursday will play Normal Community High School. Track had indoor champions last weekend, which brought outstanding results. In the men's 200-meter, Garrett Richardson placed 10th with a time of 23 seconds. Emma Swisher placed 9th in the 200-meter with a time of 26 seconds, a new personal best in the men's 400-meter. Brock Schlittler placed 6th with a time of 52.3 seconds. Camden Fairbanks placed 7th in the men's 800 meter with a time of 2 minutes 1 second. In the women's 1600, Emily Decker ran a 5 minute 10 second race and placed 5th. Decker placed 4th in the 3200 meter with a new school record of 10 minutes 57 seconds. In the men's 4x200 relay, Richardson, Schlittler, Maurer, and Metter placed 3rd with a time of 1 minute 33.7 seconds. Claire, Denny, Wehrli, and Pound placed fifth in the women's 4x400, running a 4-minute 12-second race. In women's 4x800 relay, Claire, Denny, Pound, and Reedy placed first with a time of 9:43, coming out as state champions. In shot put, Lauren Shaw placed 10th, throwing 10.59 meters, and Kendall Zerusen vaulted 3.3 meters and placed 6th in pole vault. Congratulations to all these rocket champions. Next up, we have news from Parkland College, which is announcing a new surgical technology open house for their health professions. Health professions at Parkland College will host a free surgical technology career exploration open house on Thursday, April 10th. Guests are invited to tour the new surgical technology mock operating room and educational spaces from 4 to 6 p.m. in room B124. The open house is also an opportunity to learn more about the surgical technology profession and the program at Parkland College. We're very excited to showcase our updated surgical technology mock operating room, which will further enhance the real-world opportunities that our students can experience as they prepare to enter the clinical portion of the program and the workforce, said Janet Gerwatz, Surgical Technology Program Director. Those who attend the open house can expect to see demonstrations and hands-on activities related to the program. Faculty will be available during the event to answer all questions about the program. Refreshments will also be provided. Registration for this event is not required. For more information, you can contact Janet Gerwatz at jgerwatz@parkland.edu, and I'll spell out the first name. It's J-G-R-E-W-A-T-Z, jgerwatz@parkland.edu. In other news from Parkland College, they plan to offer tuition and fee discounts to district high schools participating in an early college academy, and they welcome a new leader for the college's foundation. At its regular meeting last Wednesday, the Parkland College Board of Trustees approved offering tuition and fee arrangements for District 505 school districts taking part in the Parkland Early Transfer Academy starting this fall. That program, the Early Transfer Academy, allows college-ready high school students to enroll in classes at Parkland's campus and systematically work toward completing a Parkland credential or an Illinois State Board of Education College and Career Pathway Endorsement, or both. The Parkland ETA, that's the Early Transfer Academy, tuition and universal fees arrangement will follow the current tuition and fees structure established with Education for Employment, number 330, to operate Parkland's Early College and Career Academy. The total cost of tuition and fees will be determined by the credit hours offered to participating school district students in the ETA program. Parkland College will forgive 2 credits for every 12 hours offered to a district's ETA students. That's a 16.7% discount for tuition and fees. ETA students will pay non-discounted additional course fees specific to the courses offered. The board also approved Danielle Wilberg as Parkland's new Associate Vice President for Development and Executive Director of the Parkland College Foundation. She began her new position April 1st and replaces Tracy Wahlfeldt, who will retire on April 30th. This concludes our reading of the April 2nd edition of the Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.